It is 7 o'clock. I call this meeting to order. Very first item of business is any approval or changes to the agenda. Pat, as a point of order, do I actually have to ask for a motion to approve the agenda?
I don't know.
Unless there's an objection, we're going to move on.
Yeah, I can do that.
For this one, though, I do require a motion. The minutes from last month, May 13th, 2014. Have you had a chance to kind of review through them? I only noticed one typo on the third page at the very top. Hunting asked if there were any set of conditions.
I hate spell check. I will make that correction.
Make a motion to approve the minutes as noted. The corrections as noted.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So move minutes. Old business, not seeing any old business. We move on to new business, which is we have one special use issue to deal with tonight. It is SU-14-02-4590, South Berkeley Road, Building C. Applicant David Alago. Owners Michael S. and Constance A. Hand have applied for approval of automotive-related, in parentheses, wheel repair business as a special use. Have you had a chance to, fellow members, have you had a chance to review this? With that, would you like to come up and say something in support of this application by first stating your name and your address?
My name is David Alago. You said it right. Very many people don't. And my address is 714 Pagoda Court in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Very good. Is there anything you'd like to say to describe the business?
Sure. Yeah, it's actually pretty straightforward. I basically just fix like curb damage on wheels. You know, like when you're pulling up to Arby's, you get a little too close, scratch.
Been there.
Yeah, we basically just resurface the wheel by just grinding, sanding. You smooth that out, and then you just spray a very light coat of the silver or whatever color the wheel is, and then you shoot a clear coat over it. And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward.
I only have one or two questions. I'll let anybody else. Neil, do you have any questions?
No, I guess I've had this done before. I've had ran into a pothole and actually made the wheel a bit
bent.
Oblong.
Right.
You know, do you guys?
Yeah, well, we're not going to be able to do that just yet, but I'm hoping as business grows, we're going to be able to do it. So right now, we're just focusing on the cosmetics. Then we'll actually go to the bends and all
so
that.
So you're bending the rim, you know?
Yeah.
The painting will occur inside?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sometimes paint booths require special permits.
Right.
Will you be needing a special permit for this?
I was actually told that I need to check with the fire marshal's office for the specific booth that I'm ordering, so I'd have to check with them. To be honest with you, I don't know, because some booths, depending on what state and the city, so I'm not real familiar with the code. I would just have to check with them.
Okay. How many wheels, dented up wheels or otherwise, will be outside at any given time?
There will be none. Okay. There will be none.
So after it's painted, you would never put it outside to dry? It would always stay
inside? It would always
inside.
Be inside, okay. Yeah. And a lot of the wheels that we work with are pretty expensive, so I probably wouldn't want to put them outside anyway, so.
Okay.
Do you just get the wheels sent to you, so the vehicles aren't being sent to you? Just
right,
the
yeah,
wheels?
Well, our biggest customer right now is United BMW. They're like 4.2 miles down the road. So we basically go there, pick the wheels up, take them to the shop, fix them, take them right back.
So we saw the application, and we also saw staff's recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
The staff recommendation was to be approved with the condition that outdoor storage of damaged, dismantled vehicles or of parts is prohibited.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that recommendation.
In that case, I'm going to entertain a motion because I can't provide one, I don't think.
All right, I'd like to make a motion to approve with the staff recommendation.
Second, I guess.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
With that, good luck in your new business, yeah. And my wife may be seeing you soon.
All right. Then that one is on the house.
No, okay.
don't forget next Thursday with the city council at 8 o'clock.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your time.
Certainly.
You're welcome.
And just remember to check with the fire marshal. You're going to have to anyway, so.
I will. Thank you. Okay. You guys have a great evening.
All right.
You too. Bye. Thanks.
I think, seeing no citizens, I think we can pass on comments. The discussion session, Pat, you actually wanted to bring something up related to...
Yes, this is an opportunity to bring a topic that City Council has asked me to look into, a code amendment dealing with the parking of recreational vehicles on residential properties. And although it's not going into the zoning portion of the code, it'll be in a separate section that deals with parking. Because it is somewhat land use related, I was asked to just kind of run it by you for any thoughts you might have on what would put into the restrictions. Now that the lake has come back up, while it was down, they were not too concerned with a lot of boats and things being parked on the residential properties because people had to take them out of the water. But now that it's back up, those that stay on the lake can go back in. But we've got other issues with things like large motorhomes or camping trailers and things like that. And there are still some empty boat trailers that are... you can see in a few yards around. So we wanted to look into what would be appropriate restrictions to put on the parking of these recreational vehicles since we have gotten a few complaints on them. So any thoughts on that?
First, a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Do our subdivisions actually have covenants or restrictions against
typically
them?
Those have covenants that don't allow them anyway or have very strict regulations on them. Most of what we're seeing is coming in from properties that aren't under subdivision covenants.
The old part of the city then?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lakeshore, North and South Berkeley Lake, those areas, Little Ridge, Ridge Road. Mm-hmm.
And those rules would supersede anything that we...
The covenants on the subdivisions,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They would be in addition to anything we have, but typically they're so restrictive right now that they don't have a problem there. That's not what the complaints have been originating.
Well, I actually see kind of both sides. Yeah, I see both sides a little bit. The visual aesthetics could get overwhelming, particularly if you have a huge behemoth sort of vehicle or something that just parked there, and then it becomes part of the landscaping after a while. And so I get that, and I understand that part of it. At the same time, though, you know, this is a community that has boats as well, so I'm trying to think that, is there a reasonable accommodation for boats or boat trailers, maybe a certain size or a certain time limit for parking of vehicles?
All of those are the kind of things I've got on my list as variables to be.
Yeah.
I know the Webbers, they take their boat out during the winter and put it in front of their house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about too? Something like
yes.
that?
Yeah.
That's kind of an eyesore. It's in their front yard. It's a big front yard, but it's right there.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are the complaints coming from the boats being in the front yard, in the side yard?
Typically, in the ordinances that I have seen in the past, they're restricted or prohibited from the front yard. Sometimes they're allowed in the side, sometimes not. Almost always they're allowed in the rear, you know, if there's a place. Mm-hmm. Sometimes with a setback from the property line, sometimes not. Sometimes it'll require some sort of improved surface, but not always. So those are all the different things that are being considered.
What else could they do? Where could they?
They can
where
rent
else
space.
Could they put it?
They can rent a storage
off-site.
I know the auto place down here keeps a lot of boats. Mm-hmm. The racing, I see racing. They have pontoon boats from Berkeley Lake there when they were down in their parking lot. I'm sure they paid for it. Mm-hmm. But
remember, we're talking about not just boats and their trailers, but
RVs.
Any type of recreational vehicle, including 65-foot luxury motorhomes.
Yes. So.
Well, I personally would not like it. I mean, are you asking me if we disapprove that? Or?
Well, actually, I think they're looking for, and this is what's going to be difficult with only three of us here. Right. There's a certain synergy that occurs when you have five people talking about something like this, that you could provide a consensus opinion that, you know, pass on to city council that, you know, it's generally, you know, it's members of this community who are also in some capacity that reads rules, you know, is not in favor of having carte blanche free access to parking RVs and such. I'm actually hesitant to say something like that without both Jeff and Dan here because, quite frankly, they tend to they allow for a balanced mm-hmm. view throughout the cross-section here. So, because I
haven't written it yet, so I'm just looking for a little bit more input as to, you know, what you as more as a resident than as a planning and zoning commissioner think would be appropriate.
I would lean to some sort of structured control. But not maybe an outright prohibition, except maybe in certain areas, you know, the first 50 feet of the front yard or something, you know, I just don't need to see that there, you know, so either the front yard or part of the front yard, you know, it's back off to the side.
Remember, the minimum front yard or setback is 65 feet from the edge of the street. That's what is for any structures.
Any structure. But I would say that, you know, I'm not picking on Tom, but they got a big hill.
Yeah, they've got a big hill.
And so they couldn't actually get to the side yard or to the backyard with theirs, but if they tucked it into the woods more, temporary, you know, no more than like a 2 or 3 month or period of time.
But that's when the leaves are off the trees and you probably still could see it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I actually tread lightly a little bit because I elected to live in a non-prescriptive tight subdivision. So that's why I would say we probably need a more balanced view here.
What? How do you feel, Neil?
Well, you know, my home and the homes around me all have, you know, just tremendously steep driveways that you could never get anything up anyway if you tried. And I also think, you know, boats are a little bit different from RVs because when you have an RV, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's almost like it's somebody living in there or isn't there.
Could be.
It's also more imposing, too.
Yeah. And a lot of times those, you know, the bigger ones, the 65-foot ones, you know, require, you know, a bigger, you know, pad to park on, you know, so like a thicker 5,000 PS, you know, concrete pad. May not want to build.
Yeah. The one thing that I wouldn't have a problem with are pop-up campers and those sort of things. But apparently people would have complaints about those as well.
Oddly enough, one of the complaints we had was about this camping trailer right in the backyard, and it was a small pop-up A-frame, you know, style camping trailer that had been parked in a backyard behind a privacy fence, even a privacy fence between it and the neighbor, and all you could see, we know, was just the top of it, and that was complained about.
No. Yeah.
So that's kind of the balancing act that
gets
happened.
But a big RV is a whole nother thing. That would have to be on concrete, right? It would have to be on a driveway?
I certainly would want mine.
Yeah.
on
Let's break it up really quickly.
But that's, you know, if there could be a size limit in terms of number of feet, and then anything bigger than that just has to go to a commercial storage or something like that.
It's not like we don't have storage places that are right around the corner that you could rent space.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're asking my personal opinion, is I'd try to keep them out of the front yards. I'd allow them in the backyards and in the side yards, and the more I think about that, I think I might just leave it like that and not even worry about time limit, because then trying to enforce a time limit, put a chalk line and come back 3 months later, see if it's moved. So that would be my kind of personal opinion.
They're obviously trying to save money. They don't want to pay for. They don't want to pay for a space. I'm not sure how much that costs.
I don't know.
It'd be about $100 a month.
Would it?
Would be my guess. Mm-hmm. And it's actually not even. Well, it might be money as well. Yeah, obviously, but it could also be convenience factor of having it right there.
Sure.
So that's why I'd be willing to accommodate that.
Okay.
So,
would the side yard, so the neighbor could see it?
You could require screening of some sort.
Yeah, or setback. You know, you can't start within 10 feet, 15 feet, property line maybe.
Mm-hmm. Was there a number there or something?
10 or 15 feet.
What's it? 10 to 15 feet, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Mumbling.
Of course, our normal setback is 12 and a half feet.
So something similar, yeah.
Okay. So essentially meeting the minimum setback requirements on the front and side.
Yeah, there it is. It's, you know, having, you know, it not allowing, you know, if we keep our structures, if we're requiring our structures to be that far back, then something that's going to be there for a long period of time potentially should be set back that much as well.
Almost treat it like a shed, like an accessory structure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody have an RV or a trailer that you're thinking about moving to the front yard here?
No, but I know in my other neighborhood, when we first moved in, they kept it in their backyard. And I personally had a problem with it because I could see it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my deck was there and I could see it every day. And it was gigantic, too.
Yeah, they're tall.
It was gigantic. Mm-hmm. But they said they'd move it out, and they did. So, but how many do we have? Do we have a lot around the lake and all?
Most lots won't be able to handle anything like that. Yeah. I couldn't put one in my yard, period.
Yeah, we couldn't either.
Yeah.
It's got to be a big yard.
I don't know how many there are. It's just, like I said, we started getting a few complaints, and it reached the council, so they asked me to start looking into it, see what we should do with it.
I don't know off the top of my head, but what's the size limit for an accessory structure? Is there one? Like a shed?
Yeah, there is.
We do have a...
the maximum size.
A maximum size on an accessory structure. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, we need to let them voice their opinion. Yeah.
But you're seeing that there may be a slight consensus or a slight general thing. Maybe there should be some sort of control, but not the most no way, no how sort of...
Mm-hmm.
Control is what I sense from here.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have a problem with the temporary boat storage out front.
Oh, and you don't even have a problem with the boat storage out front, so.
just seasonal or something like that. It's not, doesn't.
So that's another also possibility. You know, it's maybe the seasonal, you know, storage of boats allowed in front or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Pat, we were no help to you, were we?
And one of the things you would consider, one of the other complaints we had was someone who kept their large travel trailer off-site, but they brought it to their home to load it up mm-hmm. one day. And it was only there for probably somewhere between, maybe 24, 36 hours or mm-hmm. something. So it would certainly allow for that kind of situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Loading
yeah.
up.
You know, except for loading and unloading of the RV.
Yeah.
Sure.
But that was one of the earlier complaints that we had about it. Okay, well, I appreciate your thoughts on that.
All right. So with that... I also, because there's only three of us, I don't think we'll go into second kitchens and that sort of thing conversation tonight at this point. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I would like to announce I just got today the schedule for ARC's work on the comprehensive plan update that we will be holding a public open house on June the 30th, and I got the flyer today that we'll be putting on the website and sending out to the stakeholders group so that they can make sure all their neighbors are invited. So that'll be from 6 to 8 in the evening. That's a Monday, June the 30th, and then they'll be finalizing the update for the council in July.
It is a very small but engaged group of people that show up to provide comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the stakeholders will be on the 14th of July.
Mm-hmm. Of July? Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
With that, motion to adjourn?
Yep.
Second.
All right. All in favor, let's leave. Actually, before we're done with the meeting part, so we can turn off. I just wanted, and feel free to stay if you want to listen in. I'm just trying to get.